We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, Sheffield Community Church, and the rest of the other people that are logging in from different parts of the world, from the UK. We want to welcome you once more to our live stream service from Sheffield. Just want to thank also the worship team here and the media team that is keeping us going and keeping us coming through to your lovely homes, workplace, to your kitchens, to your lounge, to your dining room, wherever you are. We're excited to have you logging in and being a part of this family, Sheffield Community Church. This morning, we continue with our series. Last week, I did say that we want to press on theme of a season of open doors. And so today we're on part 4. I'm reading from Revelation 3, verse 8 to 9. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I'll make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I've loved you. I also want to read Joshua chapter 6 from verse 1 to 2. Joshua chapter 6 verse 1 to 2 reads, Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, See, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the ministry of worship. We thank you, Lord. Indeed, we declare that you are a promise keeper, and that you do make a way where there seems to be no way. And so as we gather today from different parts of the world, we want to lift up your name in every situation, in every home, in every heart, that you will reign and rule, and that you will guide us today and reveal your word to us by your Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The background to our series comes from Revelation 3, verse 8, which I just read. Philadelphia was a gateway city because of its strategic location as a commercial gate of trade between the East and the West. It is therefore not surprising that the church in Philadelphia was strategic, and Jesus says to them, I've opened a door for you. He wanted them to extend their influence and impact in advancing the kingdom of God in that region and beyond. However, there was a group of people in that city called the Synagogue of Satan that were opposed to their work. But Jesus was assuring them further down the text that he actually had dealt with that problem. And the challenge he was laying out before them that morning, that day, was that I have opened a door for you. Take that opportunity. And I'm reminded today, as I cast a shadow in the book of Joshua, as we look specifically on how the children of Israel took over the city of Jericho. As we read from verse 1 of Joshua chapter 6, how the gates were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. The Bible says no one was allowed to go in and no one was allowed to go out. When we talk about the synagogue of Satan in Revelation, we can compare it to the city of Jericho. And this story kind of gives us a bigger understanding of what the enemy can do as you attempt to go through that door, that open gate that God is opening for you. Jericho was the oldest known city in the land of Canaan. Its age and location made it a very prominent city and also strategic because it gave you access to the whole territory of that region. If you took Jericho, you took the territory. Although not a very large city in terms of its geography, Jericho was a stronghold, a city with a military architecture built for defense in war. That is a strange thing about this city. It was designed with a view to defend the territory and the kingdom of the king in that region. To put it into perspective, the height of the walls of Jericho were as high as a 4-story tall building and surrounded by two enormous walls that were 15 feet apart, and they were lined with soldiers and watchmen dotted across its every post of that wall. This wall was impenetrable, this wall of Jericho. They say that it was so thick and so wide that two chariots could ride side by side without a problem. And there were timbers that were laid across supporting houses that were attached to the walls. So it was a fortress. It was built on a hill. If anyone was attempting to take this city, they had to mount up a siege which would take several months, followed by trying to climb up the walls to get to the top, which was heavily guarded by soldiers, well-trained soldiers. So as far as the Canaanites were concerned, any attempt to conquer this city, they had this advanced defense system that they believed was foolproof and fail-free. So they had nothing to worry about because as far as they were concerned, you could not breach this security system. Jericho was not only a strategic gateway city to the territory, it was a major gate standing in the way of the children of Israel from their promised land. This was no ordinary city. There was no ordinary city like this one. It had gates, and the gates had a message for the children of Israel. And so today I want us to look at the gates, and my message is entitled Entry Granted but Access Denied. The children of Israel were granted access to the promised land, but they were granted entry to the promised land, but they could not access the gates of Jericho. And so number one thing I want us to look at about gates is that gates are a signal for change. Gates are a signal for change. The story in Joshua chapter 6 really does not start in chapter 6. It starts in chapter 5. In fact, we can even go all the way to chapter 1. But I'll just hang it on chapter 5. And verse 2 says, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. And then verse 10 says, while the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. Verse 12. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land, and there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So the children of Israel were delivered by God from bondage in Egypt, and they managed to cross the Red Sea and the River Jordan. And when they were now inside the territory of the promised land, on the other side of the River Jordan, the Bible says on the plains of Jericho, they still could not enter through the gates of Jericho until some major events had taken place. Yes, they had entered the promised land, but somehow they had not been granted access into the gates of Jericho, because through the gates of Jericho, they could then possess the whole territory that was promised to them. You see, you cannot take the gates of Jericho without preparation. This is a different city with a complicated gate system that required a very different approach. It was not the same like what they'd seen before in the land of Egypt. Jericho was different. So God had a different plan of taking Jericho. You remember when they were in Egypt that the blood of the lamb was the exit strategy that took them out of Egypt. In fact, it was the rod of Moses that was the key to opening the gate of the Red Sea. And now they were in the River Jordan, and God changed the system for them to cross over the River Jordan. First, he raised a new leader called Joshua. Joshua was not the same as Moses, But in order to part the River Jordan, they needed a new leader, and his name was Joshua. Secondly, he used the priests of Israel who were to carry the ark. And as they carried the ark, as soon as their toes touched the River Jordan, the river was supposed to part. So this time round, God did not use one man, but he used more than one man. He used a people. He used priests who were carrying the ark of the covenant, representing the presence of God. In the River Jordan, this was a gate on its own that was signaling to the Israelites that they had come to the end of a season in the wilderness, and they were now entering a new season, a new level, a new way of living. Unfortunately, the gate to Jericho was closed. See, a closed gate means a transition point from one territory to another territory. So when it came to opening up Jericho, it was different because this city was both a door and a gate. In other words, it was controlled by a very strong and determined adversary. It was a different system altogether. So as soon as Israel crossed River Jordan, they were confronted with this imposing architectural structure that looked like a fortress. It's not enough to enter the territory. You need the gates to open. The gates must open if you are to take the fortress. Doors must open if you are to advance into the promises of God. But here they were. Meanwhile, it was not God's intention that they take Jericho. God's intention was that some major events needed to take place. Changes needed to come first. Changes needed to be made. Yes, it's true that the children of Israel were now free from Pharaoh, but they were not granted full control of the promised land. Entry was granted to them, but control of the gates was denied. This city is not the same as any other city they had seen. The gate to this city was different from the gate that opened the Red Sea and the River Jordan. Now let's talk about the changes that needed to happen in Jericho. Three changes that needed to happen, and these changes apply to you this morning. The first change that needed to happen in Jericho, according to what we read in Joshua chapter 5, is the issue of circumcision. All males, according to Joshua chapter 5 verse 2, had to be circumcised before they could cross over and take over Jericho. All males, these were males that were born in the wilderness, they knew not about circumcision. And so God says to Joshua, I need all the males who were born in the wilderness circumcised. Why? Because this was a covenant mark of consecration. All the way from Abraham, if you were to identify with the promises of God, you had to be circumcised. And here is God marking out a people for him that were fit enough to break through the open gate of Jericho, the closed gates. Consecration is the first change that must happen in your life if you're going to realize the promises of God. Gates will open to men and women that have their hearts circumcised. The second thing that had to happen was the celebration of Passover. The Bible says they celebrated Passover for the first time since they left Egypt. This was a reminder of how they were set free from Pharaoh in Egypt. It simply meant to them that God was not done with them yet. And the third thing that happened was that manna from heaven ceased when they came to the plains of Jericho. They've been eating manna from heaven for 40 years. It was a free lunch, free meal delivered by angels every morning on time. And on that day in the plains of Jericho, after eating of the Passover, the Bible says the manna ceased. It stopped that day. It was a change of diet, because what they were entering into, the season they were going into, it could not be taken or it could not be entered into on the same diet. Their provision system changed. From that day onwards, they had to work for their provision. A new season was dawning. A new season was starting for them. So these three events happened one after the other because God was giving them a sign that Israel had come to an end of a season and was entering a completely new season. I'm announcing to you this morning that this is a season of open doors. You are entering a new season now. Yes, things happened in the past, but God is transitioning you to a new season. A new season where things have to change. The children of Israel were on the brink of entering a completely different territory. And God says, I want to prepare you. Who knows what lies on the other side of the Jericho gates? Who knows what lies on the other side of the doors of opportunity in your life? Only God knows himself. But certainly, something is involved on the other side. And one of the things we know is change. Some things in your life ought to change. It can't be business as usual when you come to the plains of Jericho. Life cannot continue as though you are still in Egypt now that you are entering Jericho. Now that you are entering your promised land. Jericho has to be taken and God has to open those doors for a purpose. For his purpose. The second thing we learn about Jericho is that Jericho is a spiritual gate that is challenging your destiny. Jericho is a spiritual gate that is challenging your destiny. Joshua chapter 5, I'm reading verse 13, says, Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, Are you for us or for our enemies? In the physical, we read in Joshua 6, 1 and 2 that Jericho was tightly shut. There was heavy security and a surveillance system that was working 24/7, ensuring that every movement in and around the gate was monitored. Jericho was a city. It was a very strong door that was functioning like a gate at the same time. The only difference is that a door protects treasure, but a gate protects territory. There's a difference. A gate is about territory. It's keeping you out of your territory. Hence the reason it was built as a fortress, it was built to protect both treasure and territory. You can enter through a gate, but doors can remain closed to you. That means you have been granted access, but it is limited. And even the little access that you have been granted is monitored by virtue of being in its territory. There are restrictions that have been placed in your path today. The enemy is good at giving you freedom, but that freedom is not complete. In order for you to enjoy freedom, the gates need to open. There is no freedom when gates are closed. Yes, they could have set and built their life along the plains of Jericho by the River Jordan, but that's not the destiny that God had for them. The destiny was that the gates of Jericho must open so that the promised land can be taken. It is about territory. But Jericho was not an ordinary city. What does Jericho represent? Jericho city is a restriction protocol where things are at a standstill. Nothing went in and nothing came out. Everything was at standstill in that place. You went to university. You got all the degree you need. You got all the qualifications you want. And yet, nobody has time to read your CV. Regret after regret after regret is the name of your address. That is your postcode. Yet you've got everything. Everything. You have studied all sorts of things. You have passed and yet your life is at standstill. You are in Jericho. A Jericho system is a form of blockage or prolonged delays in your life. You feel stuck in one place or on one level where you are going nowhere. Everybody that you were with, everybody around you seems to be growing and multiplying in influence and impact, but not for you. I announce to you, you are in Jericho. Jericho sets limits on how far you can go and also determine where you can go. You seem unable to break out of a fruitless routine in your life. Why? You are in Jericho. Jericho systems are a form of confinement, a barrier to your advancement and progress. You have been stuck in one position at work while others come fresh from university, overtake you, and they become your boss. And you wonder what's going on. Promotion is eluding you. The company seems to have forgotten you. You are in Jericho. A Jericho system is delicately built and fashioned to deny you access to what belongs to you. It denies you access to your destiny. It's intentionally designed. The Bible says, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. There are ones that are fashioned specifically for you to deny you access to your destiny and keep you confined to a set place. That is Jericho. Nothing came out. Nothing went in. It was a closed system. However, no matter how many brave soldiers, how thick the holes are, how strong the gates are, the people of Jericho, the Bible says, were afraid. They were afraid. God had given Jericho to the children of Israel. It had to be taken. Your Jericho has to be taken. You can't continue on that level. You can't continue limited. You can't continue being delayed by the works of the systems of Jericho. You can break through out of that in Jesus' name. In Joshua chapter 5, we learn about a divine encounter that Joshua had with a man who was holding a drawn sword, the Bible says. It was a critical time when Joshua was probably preparing to launch an attack on a city that he knew was impregnable. There were a lot of things in his mind that day. As he processed the battle ahead and he looked at the children of Israel, poor weaponry. They had slings and spears and arrows compared to the massive defense system of the Jericho city. They were nothing. They had no chance. They had no chance at all. And remember, this man here, Joshua, is the first five-star general of the army of Israel. And here he is, contemplating how he's going to handle this battle. He has fought battles before and won all of them. And yet at this hour, he was afraid. He was inadequate. And he felt out of depth. Because the enemy he confronted was different from anything he has ever seen before. These were the holes of Jericho. These were the gates of Jericho, a different system, a different protocol, a different gate. I found out that in life, there will be some circumstances you cannot handle. There will be some issues you cannot control. There will be some enemies you cannot defeat. And there will also be some gates that you cannot open on your own. Maybe you're listening to this message today. There are gates that you're failing to open. There are circumstances that are stubborn. They refuse to be moved or shift. I've got news to you. I've got news for you that on the other side of the gate, there are challenges, but there are also opportunities. On the other side of the gates, there is your destiny. God has given you an open door. That's what he says to the Philadelphian church. He says, behold, I've given you an open door. In the midst of opposition of people from the synagogue of Satan, the door remains open. And no man can shut it. As far as heaven was concerned, the gates of Jericho had been opened. As far as Jesus Christ was concerned, the holes of Jericho were open. And only he alone has a battle plan for opening Jericho. Number three. The third point is this. A gate is an opportunity to make a choice in your life. A gate is an opportunity to make a choice in your life. Joshua chapter 5 from verse 14. Joshua had asked the question, are you for us or for our enemies? And this man with a drawn sword answered, neither. Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I've now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? In warfare, when an enemy or when any soldier stands with his weapon drawn out, it's a military posture of guarding something or engaging in a battle. That position of standing in the military is saying, I'm about to engage, or I'm defending a territory. I'm defending something. And so Joshua, while he's deep in his thought, while he's confused and inadequate and feeling so ill-equipped, right at that moment, in that juncture, there is a figure, there is a man with a drawn sword just standing by. And Joshua moves closer to ask him, are you for us or for our enemies? And the man standing there says, neither. Very confusing answer. Very confusing answer to a five-star general who's so confused at this moment. He says to him, listen, I'm neither for you or for your enemies. In other words, I'm not here to take sides. I'm not here to take your side or anyone's side for that matter. But I'm here. But the answer is in two parts, because he then says to him, but, as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Yes, the halls of Jericho are intimidating. Yes, the city of Jericho is a fortress. But as commander of the Lord's army, I have now come. Yes, my CV is not being looked at. Yes, I've been confined at this level and nothing is happening. I'm at standstill. Yes, my life seems to be not having any progress at all. Yes, I want to get married and there's no one coming my way. Yet I've served God. Yet I've walked with God. And I continue to pray and nothing is happening in that area. I'm at standstill. I've news to announce to you. As commander of the Lord's army, I have now come. I'm here. What is Jesus saying here? Did I say Jesus Christ? Okay, I went ahead of my message. Why would he say that, though? Why didn't he say, I'm here for you and for Israel? The second part, this is what Jesus is saying. Did I say Jesus again? I'm going ahead of my message. Can I rephrase that? This is what the commander of the Lord's army is saying. And the commander of the Lord's army is saying, I am here not to take sides. I'm here to take over. I'm here to take control. I'm here to call the shots. I'm here to give instructions. I'm here to be in charge of the situation happening here. I am the commander of the Lord's army. I have come to take control. If it's going to be me, if it's going to be victory, then I need control of this situation. I need control of this battle. Instead of the strongholds, instead of the strong gates, what God was saying to Joshua is, Joshua, I want you to lift up your eyes and look at the commander of the Lord's army. Because he who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. We are told by theologians that this man here that Joshua saw is what we call a theophany. A theophany means God stepping into the world before the birth of Jesus Christ. It means God coming into the Old Testament before the New Testament. In fact, this particular commander of the Lord's army is said that this one was Christ himself stepping into his creation before his birth in the Gospel of Matthew. So what Joshua saw that day, he came face to face with the pre-incarnate presence of Christ, our Lord. And as he stood there with a drawn sword, he was saying, the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. As for this battle, this type of gate, this type of city, you cannot conquer it on your own, Joshua. I know you're a five-star general. I know you have been praying. I know you have been faithful. I know you have taken over from Joshua, from Moses. I know you are the finest leader. I know you are the finest intercessor in the church. But this battle, this type of gate, this type of city, you need the commander of the Lord's army. You can't break through this one on your own. You need God. You need God. You need God himself. You see, Joshua had to learn that when it comes to this battle, it needs the presence of God. In battles of this magnitude, there are no two sides. There's only one side. And the question is, whose side are you on? There's only one side. There's a time in the promises of God, in your destiny, when God wants you to choose, are you for him or against him? There is no sitting in between. There are moments in your calling, there are moments in your destiny when you have to decide whose side are you on. See, there's a time when God wants you to be consecrated. There's a time when God wants you to remember how he brought you out of your Egypt. There's a moment when God wants you to remember that you are now entering a new season. Your diet must change. Your attitude must change. Your manners must change. Because behold, the past is gone. The new has come. You are now a new creation. You have entered a new zone. You have entered a new territory. God is come. The Bible says, I, as the commander of the Lord's army, have now come. See, God was not looking that day for any kind of philosophy from Joshua. He was saying, Joshua, I've come to take over. If this battle is going to be fought at all, it's going to be fought my way. I am the supreme commander. I am the almighty God. I am the captain of God's invisible army. See, at that moment, there was an invisible army. And Joshua had to learn the first principle, the first principle of spiritual warfare. And that first principle is that when you go to battle, Jesus has to take over. Any battle at all, if you want to guarantee victory in that battle, then God must take over that battle. God does not want you to help him. God does not want you to negotiate with him. If it's a battle where he has to come in, he's coming to take over. He's coming to take control. He's coming to give orders. He's not coming for any compromise. You see, there are some battles in the spirit that are not left to chance. Some battles in your life cannot be left to guesswork. The reason Jesus himself came that day, he did not send an archangel. He did not send Angel Michael. He came himself and drew a sword and said, Joshua, the commander of the Lord's army has now come. This is no ordinary city. This is no ordinary gate. Maybe what you are facing today in your life is not ordinary. Maybe what you are dealing with in your marriage is not ordinary. Maybe what you are dealing with in your workplace is not ordinary. And maybe this is the moment, this is the time to lift up your eyes and see the commander of the Lord's army. He's right there next to you. He's right there in the vicinity. All along, Joshua was not away, and yet heaven was already preparing for battle. The formation that Jesus stood by with a drawn sword was evidence that Jericho was taken. And so Jesus says, or rather, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, he says, "Behold, I've given you Jericho. I've given you its king. I've given you its strong men of valor. I've given you the city." It was a done deal. At that very moment, as Joshua beheld the commander of the Lord's army, the city was taken. The gates were open. The gates were open because the commander of the Lord's army was now involved. Now, I want to close with this. How is it that Jesus himself had to come down to take charge of this battle? The reason that Jesus had to take control, a decision was already made in heaven. And the decision in heaven was that Jericho had to be taken. There was a lot at stake, my friends. There was a lot of stake. The patriarchs of faith had left their homes, had left their people, had left their country, and they moved to a place where they had never been, following the promises of God. They had given over their lives. They had seen a city, and they started moving towards the call of their destiny. They even died without seeing the city. They lived in tents like strangers in a foreign country. The promises came, and this took more than 400 years. And a time came, a curious moment, when the promises of God needed to be fulfilled. And this was the moment. Heaven would not have this not happen right now. And so Jesus Christ himself, pre-incarnate, had to show up and guarantee victory. He would not let this battle go to chance. There was no room for error. And the Lord himself had to come to guarantee victory, that this destiny, the destiny of God's people, had to be accomplished. No gate, no devil, no synagogue of Satan would stop God's purposes coming to pass. And I want to speak to you, believer, today. Maybe you've been waiting. Maybe you've been delayed. Maybe you've been wondering and beginning to waver at the promises of God. I tell you, don't stagger at the promises of God, because what God has promised will come to pass. Whatever God has covenanted with you will come to pass. Because God is faithful to his word. He says, "I'm not a son of man that I may change my mind. I'm not a son of man that I may lie." God is a covenant keeper. God will keep his promises. Whatever he promised to you, he will bring it to pass. The walls of Jericho will fall. The gates of Jericho will fall. It doesn't matter how they've been built. It doesn't matter how long they've been around your life. The walls of Jericho around your life are collapsing today, in the name of Jesus. Because the commander of the Lord's army is on your case. The commander of the Lord's army has come to take over. I would like to pray. Perhaps you're still fighting God. Jesus has come to help you, but you want to remain in control. This morning, Jesus says to you, "If it's my way, I want to take over. And when I take over, victory is guaranteed in your life." So if you could pray with me right now, "Lord Jesus, I know there are gates and walls around people's destiny as I pray right now. But this morning, God of mercy, like Joshua, we fall on our knees And Father, we receive from you. Like he said, do you have a message? What message do you have for your servant? A sign of submission to you. We submit ourselves to you, O God. We say this battle is too big for us. These walls are too strong for us. This gate is too powerful for us. So we come to you. Would you open these gates? Would you open these gates? Would you open these gates in the name of Jesus? Would you open these gates, God of mercy? Would you open these gates, mighty God, the Almighty God? We surrender to you. Have your way. Have your way. Take control of my life. Take control of our lives today. Have your way and let your will be established in Jesus' name. Amen. If the Lord blessed you with this message, please do get in touch with us. Roba will give us more details. We hope you'll be able to connect with us. We'd like to pray with you and we'd like to hear from you. May the Lord bless you as we continue next week with chapter 6 of the taking of Jericho. We hope you'll be able to log in. May God be with you. Roba, you can come. Thank you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.